Welcome to Healing From Within with your host, Cheryl Glick, and co-host, Tim Fisher. Our program is designed to encourage self-investigation and self-mastery of emotions, thought processes of the mind, and how they inform the physical body. It's time to align your inner essence with your daily physical life for the purpose of promoting positive experiences. Now, here are your hosts, Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher.
Good morning and welcome to Healing From Within. I am Cheryl Glick, and here with me today are co-host Tim Fisher and special guest Robert Brown. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Cheryl.
And good morning, Tim.
Hello, Cheryl, and welcome, Robert. Thank you.
Robert is one of the most accomplished and prominent leaders in teaching mediumship and a true understanding of communication with higher consciousness. As a medium myself who has traveled far and near to study with many notable giants in the field, I can really say with accuracy, Robert, that Robert is dedicated to helping others reach higher levels of awareness of soul and spirit. Robert, I remember how we met 10 years ago at the Barbados Psychic and Spiritual Development Week. It was at an event sponsored by you and John Edward and several other very prominent worldwide mediums. Months before, I had been told by a psychic medium that I would be going on a trip in May. And since it was my first reading, or as you in England say, my first sitting, I was not sure of how to receive the information she gave me. I didn't believe I would be going on a trip in May, as my mother had just passed and I had canceled the trip to Italy. The likelihood of a trip was very, very slight. But this woman also told me I would be big into yoga and holistic health and spiritualism. I really had no idea what spiritualism was and was not involved in yoga or any form of holistic health. But, you know, months later, after a barrage of coincidences, which led me to believe that perhaps mediums were receiving factual information, I was very anxious to go to Barbados and to ask questions about an afterlife. I was going to find out one way or another how mediums actually got their truthful information, because something came to mind at that time. I remembered that years earlier I had what I thought was a dream while I was sick with the flu. I sensed the presence of my grandfather, who had been dead for many years. I thought I must be dying, and perhaps he was there to take me to the other side, or heaven, as many believe. I had been raised to believe that death is final, and there's no such thing as an afterlife. While I couldn't see Papa, still I knew he was there. I felt his energy or shadow standing next to me, and he was trying to tell me something, but I couldn't hear him the normal way. But still, I knew that he said I had to write something for my father. Hours later, I got the message from my sister that my dad had collapsed and didn't survive a massive heart attack. So I fell to the ground, and I was grief-stricken, and I was crying. But then I went to write his eulogy, just as I had been told. And the reason I'm telling this story is because I never did forget the experience of sensing my grandfather with me the evening before my father died. At that time, I believed it to be a dream, but years later, through strange events, I was led to read John Edwards' book one last time, and he described what happened to me as a spiritual visitation. Well, so maybe it wasn't a dream. And I was anxious to find out where my grandfather was residing and if I could communicate with him again. And so my journey had begun, and I took off to Barbados. And when I got there, I was able to have a private sitting with you. Robert, do you think that spirit guides us or leads us to the people we need to work with and to have experiences for our highest good and for the highest good of others?
I think that they definitely try to lead us. But, of course, we have free will. You would have had the free will
to say, no, I'm not going. And it's hard to imagine, really, isn't it, how things would have turned out if you had not taken that journey. I think that's one of the things that happens with spirit communication, that they try to influence us and hope that we will take the suggestions or the influences they have. When we do, things work out. What you just described is really, really quite amazing. But, you know, just so that people know, I've heard similar stories, not just here in America, but where I'm from in England, India, Australia, New Zealand. It's quite common for people, more common than what we realize, to have these visitations in the dreamlike state. And I do think it's a time when our defenses, our inhibitions, our prejudices are down, and our spirit soars, and we have that meeting.
Like an awakening.
Absolutely.
Actually. You know, Robert, there were several mediums available for the readings, but it was arranged for me to meet you. And personally, I believe Spirit intended for you to be my guide, as your sensitivity and your methodical practice of mediumship, due to your rigorous training in England, was the approach that was best for my training.
Robert, can you tell our listeners what you remember about that very fabulous week 10 years ago in Barbados?
Well, actually, I'm really laughing here because it was a fantastic, it was unique. Subsequently, I've done weeks like that every year. We do them in Bahamas now. But I do remember that when John first organized it, it very nearly didn't happen. People don't know that. At one point, he was just going to cancel it, but for a few months before, he was going to cancel it. And I kept saying to him, you know, I really do believe that this is something. And I know financially it wasn't the greatest venture any of us had, but it was a week that even 10 years later, so many people who attended, there was over 100 people, so many people are not only still involved, but it was life-changing. And what we arranged was that there would be groups so that people rotated around the mediums, got to see all of them. And I know that there's at least 30 people still involved, and quite a number of them work. That's a high percentage. So it was like, I think you're right, that Spirit orchestrated, pulled people together. And as regards who's the right mediums for who, I think it's a bit of horses for courses. You know, some people are tough, some people are gentle, and I think that that is taken into account when you're linked up with people.
All right. Another question. Now, it's a long time ago, but do you remember what I asked you at the conclusion of the week when we were all leaving for the airport?
I'm going to say no.
Well, then I'm going to tell you, okay, because I remember it very clearly. I remember asking you what I was supposed to do with the best knowledge I had ever been privileged to receive. And that knowledge was that our energy or soul survived a physical life and was eternal. As you later wrote in your book, we are eternal. I realized all the coincidences had led me to my true calling and my destiny, which was to help others by dispelling their fears about life and death. I was going to try in the best way possible, with help from Spirit, to show people to be more joyful about all experiences. It didn't matter, good or bad, right or wrong, or difficult or easy, which these experiences would ultimately shape and refine their soul and their physical being. And you responded. You're going to remember this.
No.
You responded and said, follow me to my next lecture. And over the years, wherever you have events, I try to be present. Robert, people often ask me, when I became aware of my healing and medium abilities, can you tell our listeners your first experiences with Spirit?
Well, my very first experience, I was very young, less than 5. And at that time, my mother, there were 5 children, I was the youngest, and she used to sometimes wash me in the kitchen sink. I've told this story many times, but it's so indelibly etched in my mind. that for one moment she left me very briefly, and I became aware of a man outside the window laughing at me. And that really disturbed me even as a very young child. And years later, I had to come to the realization that at that time we lived five stories above ground floor. At the time, you know, as a child, you accept many things even if they do disturb you. But I remember that man's face. And many years later, when I was a teenager, I happened to have the opportunity to see a medium in London. And I really wanted to know. That was my point, and people don't realize that many mediums don't just accept. Most of us are actually quite skeptical, and we are the people who really want to know if it's true. So I went along to prove that these mediums were really rubbish. What were they about? And I got a message that in a few sentences changed my life. The first part of this medium's message was, there's a man here, and he's very sorry that he upset you when he was looking through the window at you. I couldn't believe how this medium knew these things. So it was from that point, it was life-changing. Some of the other things that she told me, my mother had always said that her brother had died of cancer. This happened not so long after the Second World War. 1950s England, suicide was a crime. Don't ask me what they did to you if they caught you afterwards, but that's what they said. So there was a great deal of shame attached to suicide. And when this medium told me, no, your uncle took himself over, he committed suicide, I was really surprised, because here she was telling me things that no one could know, and yet she was getting something so wrong because my mother said he'd passed with cancer. Eventually, my mother opened up and started speaking about her brother, who she loved very much, and she had quite a large family, and they'd all agreed that they would rather say that he passed with cancer than admit to suicide. And the fact that I was able to query this and say, well, those mediums must be wrong, my mother then said, no, no, you've got to hear the truth. And from that point on, they were all able, it was like seeing a huge weight lifted off their shoulders. And I knew then that this was a good thing when we find out that life continues.
And thank you for that, Robert. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about your training.
You are tuned in to Healing from Within with Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher. We'd love to hear from you on our program today. Please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or if you prefer, you can send an email to stars4us@optonline.net. That's stars, the number 4, us, at optonline.net. Now, back to Healing from Within.
And we're back with our special guest, Robert Brown, the author of Our Eternal, What Spirit Tells Us About Life After Death. And Robert, you studied at the Spiritualist Association of Great Britain.
That's right.
In London's Belgrave Square. Can you tell us about the philosophy and training of your alma mater?
Well, what happened is that, as I stated, that I really wanted to know if there was any truth in this age-old question of life after death. I'd had these experiences, and I wanted to go somewhere that was recognized, that there's somewhere where there was a lot of experienced people. But at 16, they refused to take me. I had some friends who are mediums, still work in mediums, and one of them really more or less begged on my behalf, saying that, you know, he does have an ability or gift, have a look. I went along, and they really made it quite difficult. The purpose being was that they said, you have to follow these rules. You have to come every week. It was a Tuesday evening development circle. You have to come for 12 weeks. Sign up for 12 weeks. If you miss 1 week, you better have a good excuse. And things like grandmother's passing and things like that were no excuse. If you miss two out of any 12 weeks, please don't come back. I thought that was very harsh. And at the same time, we were paying for this. So I said, well, why is it? And they said, because, you know, this work that you may be doing, wasn't even sure that you would be, but this work that you may be doing requires discipline, requires you to know that it can change lives. And part of the philosophy of one of my teachers, Mrs. Ivy Northage, she was so intent that we had good training. In that, she said that you cannot make a medium. Mediums are born, but they can be helped or their abilities enhanced by this training. And she had this theory that mediumship, rather like the surgeon's scalpel, in the hands of the trained, it can create near miracles. And in the untrained, it can make a bloody mess. So she was really intent that we would have standards, that we conducted ourselves well, that we were forever trying to do better. And just as one aside, that I would tell you the very first time after about a year and a half that I did a demonstration with the group, I got some what I thought was fantastic information in this public demonstration. And I was so amazed that I thought surely Mrs. Ivy Northage was going to praise me. And I hung around, as one does. I was even willing to stack up the chairs, as most people are not. But I thought that she was going to say, you did fantastically well. I had told a lady, your husband's in spirit. He had a heart attack, and there was a part of his finger missing. This, I thought, was fantastic evidence. And the woman had said, yes, yes, yes. So when eventually everyone had left and I was still hanging around, Mrs. Northage walked past me, and she said, that wasn't bad. I was so deflated. And in fact, it was years later, just before I conducted her, I was at her funeral, that I spoke with her. And I said, why all those years ago did you never praise me for getting that right? And she simply looked at me and said, if I had told you how good you were, what would you have been able to aim for? You can always do better. And you know what? Throughout my work, there have been various people that have pointed out that we can always aim and we can always better whatever we've done.
Robert, I remember at a sitting that you gave me several years ago, you said to me, Cheryl, you have been touched differently by spirit and you have your feet in two worlds. Mm. You remember that? Vaguely.
So many times things happen and people remind me and I say, did I say that?
Well, I have often thought about that as my skills and understanding of myself and life in general have evolved. Now, I know each medium has specific and unique gifts and specialties or strengths. I have taught Reiki healing to many students, and many of them have developed their intuitive abilities, mm-hmm. and all very differently. Would you address that concept?
Yeah, well, first of all, I know in recent years, you know, with some of our friends and colleagues who have been on television, on the media, how people are absolutely fascinated with mediumship and spirit connection. But I actually believe that the gift of mediumship comes from the fountain of healing and not the other way around. Our healers, I always think are poor relations that they don't always get the publicity maybe or the praise that is due. But, you know, mediumship done well should be healing. That's what it's about.
It is.
You know, so it's a form of healing. And I think that we all have our strengths. We have some mediums around today who are excellent at bringing evidence of name through. We have others, friends of mine, who are good at bringing the personality of some people. But we also have excellent mediums who even sometimes by listening can help someone heal.
I agree with you. And Robert, there's also a great, I have seen this and been questioned about this. There is a great deal of confusion about the terms psychics, mediums, and healers. And can you simply clarify that for our listeners?
Well, in a nutshell, mediums connect with a spirit. Psychics can often read your energy. I like to correct something else or point out something. When you said sit-ins and readings, I don't know if people often realize why we make that distinction. A reading is something a psychic does. They sense around you. A psychic will be working sometimes with your aura. You may go in to see a psychic and think, oh, well, I hope she's going to tell me that, you know, I'm going to get a new job. And that's already in your aura. So often they say, you'll get a new job. Wonderful. You hear what you need to hear or perhaps reinforce something. But a medium's job is to link with spirit, to link with those who have made that transition that we call death. For the most part, healers are using spirit energy. They are channels of spirit energy to help heal people. And it's not just physical, although many times it is physical, emotional, and spiritual.
Absolutely. Robert, as you have been the most influential teacher in my development as a healing medium, I give you credit for the way I have prepared myself to work. As I remember you once said to us, prepare or prepare to fail. And I never forgot it. So I have worked in an intellectual way to learn as much as I could, but I have found it truly is in my heart and in letting go of many outdated beliefs that I have become a healing medium. So could you tell us your understanding of soul and the major reason for a physical sojourn here on the earth plane?
Well, you know, I know sometimes we think differently, but this physical plane, this world, is a unique place. It has very specific lessons and teachings that we can only do here. And I do believe that we have to journey here. You know, some of them are not all the greatest. Yes, there's love, but there's also anger. We see compassion, but we often see hatred. I do believe that we need this experience and that we're all here teaching and learning. So I think it's a progress that we have to go through. I think what's interesting is that some people see others where they get it wrong. Sometimes they think they've got a difficult person in their life. What did I do to attract that person? Maybe that person is still teaching you. Perhaps they're teaching you how not to be.
Yes, it is in the contrast, not the duality.
Right.
Or the duality. That's the contrast also, that we can learn to refine our own personal behavior.
I think we're often easy to be judgmental, don't you?
Yes. Yes, we're learning to rid ourselves of that, too.
Robert, as you've been most influential in Cheryl's development as a healer and medium, who do you credit with the most profound influence on your style of mediumship?
Most of the mediums that I worked with from years ago, they've made their transition. One, Peter Close, is a medium many people know in America. He's an English medium. Certainly, he was influential in getting me to various organizations. Ivy Northage, I've already mentioned, who's now made her transition. There is another lady who was my very first tutor, and her name is Gay Muir, who's still physically with us, still working. So there have been quite a number. Some of the older mediums people may have heard of but didn't know, Leslie Flint, who was a physical medium. These days, some of the mediums that I've actually worked alongside, I think they're incredible. Of course, here in America, you have John Edward, James Van Parg. I've worked with both of them, both before they were both very well known and since. In fact, Cheryl, that's something you can consider. In April, we have John Edward coming down to Bahamas for a week, another week.
Well, I was going to ask you when we go to dinner about that, and I want to be there.
I called it full circle for a reason. So there's been a number, and I'm always fascinated. Some of the mediums that I've known, people have never heard of them. People don't have to be well-known. I think some of the mediums and healers that work quietly doing their own thing are just, if not more important, than some who get recognition.
And we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to ask you about your upcoming lecture at the Edgar Cayce Foundation in Virginia Beach. We'll be right back.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned in to Healing from Within with Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher. We'd love to hear from you on our program today. Please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or if you prefer, you can send an email to starsforus@optonline.net. That's stars, the number 4, us, at optonline.net. Now, back to Healing from Within.
And we're back, Healing from Within, with our host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence. And our special guest today is Robert Brown, international medium.
Robert, you were invited to present a lecture at Edgar Cayce's renowned ARE, Association for Research and Enlightenment. The foundation is in Virginia Beach, and you will be back there on 11-11-2011. You're booked 2 years in advance for that function. When I was first developing, read about Edgar Cayce, and he had very specific gifts, healing gifts and prophetic gifts. Would you like to tell us something about his work and that institute and why you are going back a second time there?
Third time. Because okay. The interesting thing with me, I've spoken so much about the Spiritualist Association of Great Britain. It was very profound in my early development, my early years, because it was one of the few places that took this subject seriously. And really researched it, and they had such marvelous, marvelous mediums. And I really haven't found many places like the SAGB around the world until I had to go to the ARE. I was invited for a weekend. I went along, and it is the most wonderful place in the greatest setting. I, too, had always been fascinated, as many people with this subject would be, with Edgar Cayce, his stories. There are so many books on Edgar. And, you know, the library there holds over 4,000 of his readings. You can access all of them. Of course, he was a great diagnostic. Many people, you only have to Google, you can find so much about him. But the center there is incredibly professional. I actually told them, and I don't say that lightly, I really felt at home, and I was so hoping that they would invite me back. The first time I went, I had great response, and they said, you are coming back. And then this time they said, we want to book you because we want to make sure you do come back. The weekend that we're doing, I believe I'm one of the few mediums to actually work there. They do a lot of energy work. They have a healing center there, marvelous healing experiences. Not last year, the year before, I was doing a retreat in Virginia Beach. John Edward came, he joined us. We had 120 people. I took all of them to the healing center there. Everyone was just amazed. And I'll tell you what is the success or the remedy or really the ingredients of that success. It is the sincerity of how people work. You cannot. Disguise or try and cheat in any way sincerity. And they work together. They're amazing people, very, very intelligent people. Because my fear with some of these places was, are they all going to be a little odd? Are they going to be strange? Well, doing what I do, I don't really know what strange is. But certainly, it's a great center.
I think they're, what you said, very disciplined and very in tune with their own sense of well-being and wanting to help others be comfortable in their own body and in their own place. And I want to ask you something in regard to that. I know that energy, certain energy in certain locations is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found the energy there and in some other places you've traveled the world to be when you...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Going back to the Edgar Cayce Foundation, there is energy there that certainly makes you want to work, to do your best. I actually found I even worked better there, and there were some tough people there. They weren't just going to accept anything, but it was one of inquiring. You know, I don't think any true medium minds anyone being skeptical. I'm not too sure we're keen on the cynics, because the cynics we're going to do nothing with. Healthy skepticism is good. It helps us raise standards. But certainly he chose that for a reason, and I believe that he was directed there. We know his story. He was directed there. And what he founded, people have built on. It's lasted. And, you know, I'm really just delighted to be a part of it.
I hope to be there with you then, too. But, Robert, at one of the workshops you taught where I was present, you mentioned to me that I was the satellite and was supposed to be working with groups. You also said one day I would be speaking and you would be listening. And I said, I don't think so. You said very emphatically, I know so. And here we are all these years later and your prophecy is fulfilled. So the next question I have for you is, I know mediums get information that sometimes takes time to unfold. Can you tell us something about an understanding of time and space and the past, present, or future that are sometimes revealed in messages?
Well, I think the thing is that the most difficult thing for people to see from the limitations of the physical is the spirit realms. There is no time in the spirit realms. But, and I do not believe, I make this statement, I don't believe that our lives are written. I do not believe anywhere for anyone it says, at 20 you'll do this, at 40 you'll do that, but I do believe there are some things we've contracted to experience or teach. We have this wonderful gift called free will. How we use that free will leads us along to some of these experiences. But I think that, you know, sometimes spirit will come through with a message, and people hang on and wait. It's not that May, but maybe it happens the next May. I think that we're not in control of everything, but that some things need to happen. So what sometimes means this can happen, this may happen, but that we have to sometimes also acknowledge that we're not in control of all the factors.
No, I think we have choices to make and thought patterns that we can change to bring us more comfort in this world and also to pave the life towards what we'll have when we leave this world.
Yep.
Our thoughts and our behavior and our decisions, that's part of healing and that's also part of the messages that we get from spirit.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been working on recently, you might like to hear this, I think a lot of people here on the earth plane do a lot of preparation for when a child is coming to the earth plane. We do a lot of preparation for birth.
Mm-hmm.
If not, we have to dwell on it, but how much preparation do we do for the other birth, the passing? Not many people want to deal with it. We could do a lot, and it could pave the way.
I think that's another part of mediumship and healing, that we're going to help people understand what's ahead of them is just as magnificent as what they have here, but they have to make choices,
yep,
and they have to change some of their thoughts. Now, at several events, your mentor and friend, Peter Close, gave me very personal information during group meetings. Actually, at every one, he addressed something to me. And that goes back to what we were talking about before, that certain mediums are there. There is an affinity to help another soul along their way. And that's how I felt. But he actually told me that I had grappled with the thought of whether to give the messages that I was receiving during the healing sessions. You know, I started as a Reiki practitioner, and I understood that psychics and intuitives were getting information that, and mediums were getting information that was accurate, but I didn't quite know how that was happening. So I started with healing sessions, and I found he was correct. I had not wanted to give the messages. I had hesitated. But I finally decided that the messages seemed to be equally important to the Reiki healing session. So I decided I would just do it and see how the chips would fall. And Peter Close told me that my father in spirit was very glad that I had made the choice to develop and use spiritual messages to help others. He also told me, at the same time, that he had developed his mediumship abilities later in life when he had retired from the police force. And I also developed my skills at about that time in my life. So the question is, do you think there's a reason why some mediums develop earlier? You started at 16, and some a little later than others?
Yes. It's not better. I think when I first went to those classes at 16, I looked around and I thought, what have I got into? Everyone in the circle was, you know, 40 or 50, and I was 16. You know, let's all just think, when you're 16, 40 or 50 is pretty ancient, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Of course, when we get to 50, 70 is middle age. But I think that sometimes people do have to have an experience of this life. One other medium, great medium, Doris Stokes, once said to me, you know, to deal with mediumship, you have to have the sensitivity of a deer, because you're dealing with people's emotions. But you had better have the hide of a rhino for when people, and sometimes you need to learn that in this life. So I think some things you had to deal with. I know Peter's story, and I'll tell you something that you may not know about Peter. Peter is a first-rate healer as well, a physical healer as well as a medium. I know I've seen him worked on so many people, and God bless him, he's still with us, 83.
I know, and he looks very young. I want to jump to this because also one day at breakfast at your spiritual boot camp training in the Bahamas, Peter sat down next to me and he told me he had to be very careful what he ate as he had diabetes.
Yes.
And I told him my son had developed diabetes at the age of 22 a few years before, and he said to me that many mediums and spiritually sensitive people who use their intuitiveness a lot overtax the core or solar plexus area. And it was as if he was saying to me that sometimes a gift or ability comes with a price to pay or a drawback.
Absolutely.
And I so appreciated him saying that to me because I was very sensitive about my son's illness at the time.
And mediumship works on the central nervous system, so we do overuse it. And I'll let you know, 2 years ago, I was diagnosed diabetic. Except in my case, I'm working against it because I work with spirit and some of the Edgar Cayce knowledge. And, you know, so far, even though they said I was pre-diabetic, so far I've staved it off in its main course by doing. So I believe there are things that we can do. One of the things that I do with spirit, I always want to know not only who these people are, but what happened to them. Why did they have what they had? Because I feel that we can do something about it by knowing that.
Good, good. And I also know you have often said to me that you're very grateful to share your gifts and travel the world. But I want to know, have there been any particular challenging attitudes by others or events that have unfolded that created problems for you as a medium?
And before we get to that question, or your answer of that, Robert, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to Healing from Within with Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher. We'd love to hear from you on our program today. Please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or if you prefer, you can send an email to starsforus@optonline.net. That's stars, the number 4, us, at optonline.net. Now, back to Healing from Within.
And we're back with our host, Cheryl Glick. And our special guest today is Robert Brown, international medium from England. Visit his website, robertbrown-medium.com, where you can learn about his upcoming workshop, April 9 to 16 in the Bahamas, with his good friend, John Edward. It's going to be a small, intimate group that you very well might want to attend. So, Robert, can you describe the various ways mediums receive information from that dimension of energetic thought beyond the earth plane?
Well, many mediums can see clairvoyance. Some have the strength of clairaudience, hearing. A number of us have most of the abilities, but again, most of us are stronger in one than the other. I like to always use my friends because they put themselves in the public eye, so I think it's good for people to watch them. The wonderful medium James Van Praagh, he's an excellent medium, but he's very strong on clairsentience, which is sensing and feeling the personality. Some of them you'll hear, well, the name sounds like. These are people that are strong on clairaudience. So there are a number of ways, but I believe continual development, enhancing practice, you can strengthen any one of them if you have that ability.
Okay. Cheryl, did you have a story you wanted to tell us about one of your experiences at...
Well, you just mentioned James Van Praagh, Robert, and I came to an event with five of my students to hear both of you, because you're both so sensitive and amazing. Amazing, and I am also clairsentient, and I feel a great deal, as you do, when I get a lot about the personalities and the health issues of people. So we were at an event at the Marriott Hotel in Uniondale, Long Island. Remember? It's only a few years ago. And you were present with James Van Praagh. And at the end of the lecture, my group and I went to the hotel restaurant. And as we sat there, a young woman who I had noticed who had been crying during your presentation walked directly over to me and she said, "I feel like I have to talk to you." So I told her that I was an intuitive healer and help people to connect to their inner being. She told me she had lost her mother not long ago, but I sensed that was not why she had come over to me. When we talked a few more minutes, she suddenly acknowledged that she had lost her 13-year-old son, Michael, who had been sick with cancer for years. I think you might remember this young woman, right? And I, you know, when I hear something like that, my stomach just drops, because it's so hard to know the right thing to say when someone has lost a child. So I think maybe Michael's energy was around me because he wanted me to do something for his mother. Now, she lived out of state, and I told her if she lived closer, she could come to my group meetings. I could do Reiki, and I could do a reading, and I, you know, she could come meet some of the other women I worked with. But this was impossible, so I promised to call her in 1 week's time. And the sensitive nature of the information that came through enabled her to know that her son Michael was safe with his grandparents in spirit, and that he would always be by her side, but that she had to go on with joy, with gusto and vigor, because she had two other younger children, and he wanted her to know she didn't have to have any guilt for the situation. It was his destiny, and she and his father had given them the greatest gift of love and great care. And the question I have for you as a result of that is, do you always think we're in the right place at the right time, even if something difficult or unpleasant happens, and are certain events unchangeable?
I think the answer to that is to state my belief that there are no coincidences.
You mean life is no coincidence?
There are no. I believe in synchronicity.
Yes.
But no coincidences. I think sometimes we're placed in situations, and let's be honest here. Although you may have been compelled to speak with her, you did have the free will to say, you know, I'm not going to do that. The healer part of you took over, and with knowing that there was a need. You know, just one thing here. Anyone thinking of enhancing or further developing their healing or mediumistic abilities, I think should always ask themselves, why do they want to do that? If the answer is anything other than because I want to help other people, they shouldn't do it. It should be all about developing self to enable and help others. There's no other reason for doing this work.
And that's why I listened to what you said, not to do it at the place, but to take time in a private
right.
way to do this. Robert, I remember at one reading you asked if I knew who my spirit guide was. And I'm sure you know who my master guide is, and perhaps even saw him standing next to me. And I know a small percentage of mediums actually see the energy or soul or spirit standing right next to the person. I believe I now know who my guide is, though I haven't said this to anyone, and I haven't shared it yet. But please tell us about your spirit guide.
Okay.
And...
Well, I'll tell you this. First of all, the reason I don't say too much about spirit guides, in a sitting, we can't prove them, even if somebody has knowledge of them. I think, and my advice to anyone, if you know about your spirit guide, keep it to yourself. Let it be proved or confirmed. I believe we all have guides. We all have helpers. But I believe that that is a personal relationship. With my guide, for 10 years, I never knew who he was. I just saw the same hand, but I knew it was that hand. and it was a sense of security and of knowing. And one day a medium said to me, and his name is Ramadan. And I was so excited that I sat down in meditation. Your name is Ramadan. And the answer was, you can call me what you like as long as you know it's me. So I believe in finding out about your guides is a personal journey.
Well, you know, I'm very talkative, but I'm quiet about that. So anyhow, Robert, I want to thank you for your continued guidance and the laughter we always share together when we come together. And, you know, some friends are like that. You can't be with them all the time. But still, after a while, when you come together, it's like you've never really been apart. So I know you, and I am very grateful for any and all opportunities to share. I know you want to do that, too, to share and learn more about our ever-evolving soul and universe. And such is the gift a medium receives and shares with others. And it is about doing what is necessary for the right reasons.
Right. Robert, we have just a few more minutes. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, has your being a medium been understood and accepted by family and friends?
You know, I'm going to say yes and no to that, because one of the things that you will find is that it will divide people. And although my family all know, they're not all accepting of it. And so it has divided. I find, though, that some people who have been placed in my life who do not believe in this have been some of my staunchest supporters and critics. I remember one friend saying to me, you know what, I don't know what you do, I don't even know how you do it, and I don't even believe in this, but I've seen people go in a room with you, and I've seen them come out, and all I can say is they come out better than what they go in. And he said, so I think that's right. And I thought that was really great encouragement, positive feedback from somebody who didn't know. So, yes, certainly. But, you know, you don't take this work on if you're going to buckle at every time you get criticized or shouted at or called names. You know, I often say to people, I didn't totally choose to do this, in the fact that when I was a teenager, I didn't get any careers master who said to me, what do you want to do? Oh, I think I'll talk to the dead for a living. I believe it was there for me. I believe it was also my choice. And my choice was, I wanted to know if there was truth in this. I dared to ask, and I found out.
And so did I. And we know the truth. And I do remember that you once said to me, some of the people, friends and family, will fall to the wayside.
Absolutely.
Because they can't accept that you're going forward.
And they're not ready.
And they're just not ready to change some of their belief systems and to accept new truths. Well, it's really the old truth, but it's new for them. And I have always remembered that, because I have had certain instances where people have been very obstinate about what I do and even rude.
And the truth will stand.
Yes, and so I remember what you said to me about that. So I know how grateful you are to share your gifts. I just said that before, and you traveled the world to share that. And I know there are some challenging attitudes by others or events that may have happened to create some discomfort, but it doesn't really matter, because what do?
I think a lot of those things are put in our way for us to deal with them, for us to grow. Often, with adversity, we don't know always how to deal with it right at the moment, but when you get through it, you'll see that there was a reason for it.
And we'll always end with a smile, no matter what.
And we'd like to thank our host, Cheryl Glick, and our special guest, Robert Brown, for a delightful and provocative look at the many nuances in the understanding of spiritual communication.
Thank you
for giving us your time, Robert.
Thank you.
And Cheryl, we'll be back next week. Please join us for Healing From Within, when we have another special guest in a unique and fascinating field. Till then.